37. Legislator Litz, would you lead us in the pledge to the flag, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Madam Clerk Tierney, if you wouldn't mind doing a roll call for me.
Chair Petit.
Here.
Legislator Fabiano is not here. Legislator Erner stepped out. Legislator Litz.
Here.
Legislator Nolan.
Here.
You have quorum.
Thank you. Okay. Where'd the minutes go?
Oh, did I skip it?
Are we allowed to revise the agenda to add the minutes back on? Because they were there, and there were a lot of last minute because we had the budget come up and open space come up. And okay. So I will take a motion to approve September. It's the 15th minutes.
Move.
Second.
Second. Any amendments, comments? No? Hearing none, I will call the vote. All in favor of approving the minutes?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Okay. With that, we'll move into budget discussion. The clerk has presented budget sheets. I know everybody's had a chance to read through the entire budget already. And I don't know if this is everything. You have, I saw your face on I don't know how many pages. that was Brendan. And I was going to cut them in half, but I believe Deputy LaValle, you suggested maybe pulling buildings out and just touching on everything else. Was that you? I spoke to a lot of people today.
Okay.
It sounds like a good idea, though. So because I don't think we'd have time to go through your entire budget. So we could.
Yeah.
Okay.
This helps a little bit, kind of breaks it down.
Summary sheet.
Excellent.
Yeah, division.
That's more like it.
Oh, okay. This is nice.
You can make it go at the whole thing.
Yeah? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. From here? Yeah, and then drill down where we need.
Should we just open it up for questions? Mine is bridges. Mm-hmm. And it's my understanding about half of the workforce had taken early retirement when it was offered during COVID. And they've been requesting to have more folks. The budget has two bridge workers added. I don't know if they're bridge worker one or two. I was kind of hoping for five, but and it's also my understanding that at this point about 50% of our bridges have been yellow flagged.
Can I just amend that?
Yes.
Because on this summary sheet, it shows employees at Highways and Bridges going from 112 to 115, so they're three people in Highways and Bridges.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned two in Bridges. So
two, and the other one is a road crew person.
Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of have a summary. Can I just read?
Yeah.
It may answer a lot of your questions, but let's read through the summary.
Great.
So 2024 budget, total operating budget of $39,861,551. It's an increase of 1.838348, or 4.83%. Increase in pay is $1,318,695, which is 71.73% of the total increase. $371,508 in benefits, which is the 20.21% of the total increase. And then increase in expenditures is $148,145, which is 8.06% of the total increase. Staff, DPW asked for 15 new employees, which included in the buildings and grounds side, three building specialists, one plumber, one electrician, one carpenter, a cleaner, and an electrification project manager. The county exec has recommended one building specialist and the electrification project manager. On the highway side, DPW asked for two bridge crew workers, one CEO, which is construction equipment operator, Mason, six MEOs, which is motor equipment operators, and one welder for the bridge crew. The county executive has recommended one bridge crew worker, one CEO, and one welder.
And the welders for the bridge
crew, correct. Maintained assets, buildings. We maintain 33 county-owned facilities with a total square footage of 818,313 square feet and 12 leased facilities totaling 87,000 square feet. This does not include 701 Grant Avenue totaling 330,000 square feet. Highway side, we maintain 423 road miles, 846 lane miles, 158 bridges, not including trail bridges, 75 trail miles, 14 miles of that 75 are maintained by B&G staff. Our fleet, 478 vehicles. We have currently 80 green vehicles with four more vehicles arriving shortly, I'd say within probably a month. That's 17.5% of our vehicles are green. State funding. We expect state funding to increase slightly over last year. Last year we received $7,340,826, and that includes the CHIPS funding, PAVE New York, EWOR, and POP funding. Salt, we have kept the budget the same as the last 3 years. We will start filling our sheds now as the new bid price came back through OGS and it actually dropped a few dollars per ton.
Oh, good.
To date, we have spent just over $5 million, which will increase drastically over the next few months as the construction season comes to an end and the bills start coming in. From January to present, DPW established or amended over 20 capital projects that range from replacing culverts, bridges, installing new LED lighting, exterior renovations at the Ulster County Courthouse, modernizing elevators, installing HVAC systems, stabilizing road embankments, replacing roofs, and installing rooftop solar array. This number excludes other departments' capital projects, such as the new government operations center, rail trails, and communication towers. Of note, DPW buildings and ground staff is in the final stages of renovating the fourth floor of 368 Broadway for the Department of Mental Health. The county acquired that building less than a year ago, November 1st, 2022. The department serves as an administrative function provided by the Ulster County Electrical Licensing Local Law. DPW has issued close to 400 electrical licenses in Ulster County. And then I just wanted to make a note. When I was putting the budget together this year, I condensed, when reviewing the budget, the GL lines, if you're looking at it for each building, I combined, we had multiple supply lines for each building, which really didn't really make sense. So I combined the multiple supply lines into one general supply line. I did the same for tools and tool parts. So you'll see multiple supply lines with $0 in this year's budget with supplies, other, general as a big increase. So we had, there was cleaning supplies, office supplies, multiple GL lines that were, you know, $1,000 here, $1,500 here. I just combined it into a general supply.
And that's because you have a centralized supply location.
Yeah, it's difficult for our accounting staff. If they're getting invoices, they're not really sure what it is or what the invoice is to bill it into that correct GL. So combining it, I thought it would be easier, and it's easier to look at.
Legislator Lutz?
So with that concept, are you going to have like a general warehouse where this stuff is going to come out of? So there'll be an economy of savings by buying a truckload or something instead of buying five pieces?
Well,
we pass that
resolution. Well, hopefully have a warehouse soon. We've had a warehouse in the past where we do keep all of that, toilet tissue, paper towels, cleaning supplies, that is distributed out throughout the county.
So the new system, when someone goes to the warehouse and gets two cases of toilet paper, that'll be charged against their line?
And that line for that building.
For that building.
Correct.
So you'll have a general accounting system.
Which we have in place now.
For the warehouse.
Yep.
So, okay. That makes sense.
If I could just ask you to go back to the numbers on the green vehicles, because it didn't make sense as I heard it. The sheet shows 84 green vehicles, and I think you said 80.
80 with four arriving.
Oh, with four arriving, so that's what.
I said 84 on the other one on that sheet.
And it's 84 out of 478 total that gets you to what number did you say?
17.5%.
It's
of our fleet.
Okay, yeah, just a little bit less than 20%. Okay, thank you.
And if you ever want the detailed numbers on that, in the green fleet report in
real time?
In lots of, not in real time, but in a lot more discussion and information.
Okay, it's on the website.
Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, I've got one other. So, The costs for salt are really going down each year, but the budget amount is not going down. Do you want to take those numbers and put it to something else, or do you just want to have the flexibility in case you need more salt?
Exactly.
Okay. I hope you need more salt, but I don't predict that you will need more salt.
Oh, I hope you don't need more salt.
Well, then last year, yeah, we need water. We need moisture, and
we keep the budget
cooler weather.
We did go down a little bit, I think, from 2020, which was 50,000 more. We went down a little bit, but
it's fine with me. I like your way of thinking, and if we make all the changes that we're making to reduce the amount of heat we're pumping into the environment, then we might have more snow again.
Uh-huh.
So, I'm with you. Just wanted to check what your thinking was.
And if you wouldn't mind, you had an ask for additional staff. I got one CEO, one Mason, six MEOs, one welder.
For highway side, we had we asked for two bridge crew workers, two, one CEO, Mason, six MEOs, motor equipment operators, mm-hmm. and one welder for the bridge crew.
Okay, and you got three out of that ask.
Correct.
And okay, I mean, is it impacting since we did have a significant retirement? Wasn't DPW one of the highest departments to take that in addition to social services?
Ago, but we did bolster that back up over the
you
last
did?
Yeah,
okay.
over the last few years.
Okay.
I mean, they're operating, the bridge crew right now is operating at full staff.
Okay. All right, I think that's all I've got. Any other questions? And we only got the budget a couple of days ago. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Director Roser, your budget.
Currently has a fleet of 42 vehicles. Our fleet consists of three electric buses right now, 7 35-foot and 140-foot low-floor diesel buses, along with 13 21-26-foot gas cutaways and 11 30-foot diesel buses. We now have three Ford e-transit vehicles and four gasoline-operated support vehicles. our fleet has to be converted to electric by 2035, and the problem we have right now is that our smaller buses are not, there are no cutaways that are being manufactured. Beginning in January, Ford is supposed to start manufacturing the 21 to 26 foot cutaways, and we will begin the purchase them. We have 4 35 foot electric buses on order now, and our FTA and state funding will basically pay for those vehicles.
Legislator Litz.
What's the cost of an electric cutaway?
I mean, of a cutaway?
Mm-hmm.
To be honest with you, we have not seen, since there are none in existence
mm-hmm.
right now that anybody's purchasing, I don't know what the cost will be.
What's the cost of a gasoline-powered one?
About $50,000 to
$75,000.
Hmm. And what about your large buses?
They're about $1 million right now, a little, maybe 1.1.
1.1 mil for the electric?
For the electric. The diesels are about 750.
Thank you.
Legislator Nolan. So, are we able to... are we maximizing the number of smaller vehicles that
yes.
we're using instead of having to buy those big buses?
Well, so right now, the large buses that we have work on the routes that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We still need to utilize those 35-foot buses for places like going to Ellenville, Saugerties. We use the 30-footers to go to Poughkeepsie and their pack.
Mm-hmm. But it seemed to me that, again, we're kind of driver limited, because if we were using two vehicles with two drivers, then we could stagger the pickups and have, you know, a schedule that actually was providing more accessible use than the larger buses. So I think from a rider perspective, the smaller buses would have benefits and the scheduling benefit. And from this cost perspective and in terms of mm-hmm. how they, you know, how they could be serviced, because it's going to take less time to charge up a smaller vehicle than to charge up a larger vehicle. So the only problem I see with my approach, if you'll let me call it that, of this approach, is that you need more drivers. And from my policy perspective, I would favor heading in that direction, even at the increased cost of the drivers, if we could afford them. So I just want to state that, I guess, in the context of thinking about how we budget and where what we're trying to do.
Well, I think once the routing study's done, and that will...
I think
a lot of our routing decisions are going to be made after the routing study is done, because if we put anything into place now, they'll look at how it's in place now
mm-hmm.
and try to accommodate. But
yeah.
I think that once the routing study is done, that all of these conversations we can have them again before we decide on how we want to arrange the routes and the buses.
Completely fair. I'd rather have that data too. I'm just... want to right, keep that idea in our heads as we receive that data.
Thanks.
Legislator Litz.
How long does it take to charge the buses we have?
To charge them, if we take one out, come in at lunchtime, it's about 50 to 60% usage. But it depends also on the temperatures outside, how
mm-hmm.
much they come in. It takes about 2 hours. To get it half. So 4 hours for a full charge.
4 hours for a full charge. How many of the three buses are in service?
All of them right now.
Oh, they are. That's
good. The right question.
The last time I asked that question, it was zero.
Yeah.
We do have three e-transits that the garage now uses as transport vehicle, and our other two we use as one-off. If somebody needs picked up on a paratransit run, we'll send those e-transits out. They go about 75 miles, and they take a couple of hours to charge also.
And the cutaway buses, how many folks go on, does that hold?
The cutaway buses, they're usually about 21 to 26 passengers.
Okay.
If you have wheelchair lifts, that takes away 2 to 3 passengers per lift. I'm sorry, per seat.
Okay. Legislator Erna.
Thank you. I'm just looking at this worksheet, but I had from last month the requests. Is this the last year for the city of Kingston paying for the transfer over to UCAT? The $225,000 a year?
I think this is the last year, yes.
Okay.
5.
And I haven't had a chance to find this in the budget yet, but I've had this question for a while anyway, so I'll ask it now. Can you explain the budget for special events and, for example, the Italian festival and how much they pay for that and how that's reflected in here?
So we don't charge for those events. They're usually events that bring people to the county, and they spend money here, so that these large festivals are not, we do not charge them as we can because we receive that fund.
Would that
it would be a charter service.
Okay, so you can't charge, you're not charging for Rosendale Pickle Fest or
no.
Street Fest or the county fair or at Sorghetti's Garlic, any of that stuff. That's all free.
That's all right in our budget for driving.
Do you ever have to take a driver off a route in order to do those festivals?
Absolutely not. We would never not do a regular route to do the festivals.
Okay. Thank you.
I did see in the budget that there's intergovernmental charges, and I think there was other transportation income. One is $60,000 and one moved to, one was a deficit? Intergovernmental charges? Yeah.
Intergovernmental.
Yeah, do you need the budget lines on those? Would that be easier? 3120, one is 1789 and the other is 2300. So this would be your revenues. I had made an assumption that it was town of New Paltz and city of Kingston, but you know what happens when you assume stuff.
I guess so, that's $59.04. City of Kingston contract, that's for
$225,000. Oh, that's not it then. Okay. I don't know what page this is on in the actual book.
The page.
Do you know what page it's on?
No, I have page 1 of 7 on mine, but I don't know what it is in the book.
Yeah, that was just what Amber created.
Yeah.
It's
under revenue 5630 bus operations division 5901.
Oh.
Thank you. I mean, because what I'm looking at with a lot of the departments is, you know, they're off by $1 million because there are quite a bit in revenues, state, federal. I mean, Office of the Aging, there's $35,000 in just donations and whatever, but I'd love to see those totally balance out.
That's from the city of Kingston.
That is, okay. Thank you.
That's the city of Kingston contract.
All right. And that will be zeroed out next year?
Yes.
Okay.
At the end of 2024.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. Onward. Now we're not doing 468, correct?
Yeah, 468 and 425.
Why?
Because no action taken in health.
In the last meeting. Let's see, 425. Okay, you just kick me when we get to there. Third page?
What was the other one?
Oh, there it is. The other one was access
and 425.
To public space. Okay, very good. All righty. So moving on to the resolutions. Resolution number 337, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with the City of Kingston, where the county is a subrecipient of the city's ARPA funds for the renovation of Elizabeth Manor. Motion for discussion.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Thank you. Okay. Would you like to update us on?
I'd be happy to speak.
Yes, thank you.
And I think the best thing I can point to or say for the committee is basically what we heard from Deputy County Executive Contreras in the last committee meeting, which really is, even to me, the most up-to-date available information on the direction the county executive is heading in. And I'm happy to express that for anybody who wasn't at that last committee meeting.
Yeah, please do.
Okay,
I wasn't.
Sorry. So basically, there is a draft statement of qualifications. So it's like an RFP, and it is in production. The hope is to get it out next week, where the county would be looking and opening it up to some sort of agency or respondents to provide their qualifications on taking over the property and turning it into affordable housing. And affordable housing is a little bit more broad than the county's been looking at it, with emergency, only emergency homeless housing, where it could be temporary housing, it could be permanent supportive, it could be permanent housing for formerly homeless, or it could be a low, based on an AMI, it could be low-income housing. So I think that at least provides a direction. I know that the past committee, I think there was some discussion on seeing the direction that takes.
Much later, Nolan.
So I would make a motion to postpone based on the need to get the information, or we could take no action.
Okay. Can we have a little bit more discussion? I'll entertain that motion. Can I have a second?
Second. Okay.
And I think we were discussing it last night at caucus as well, that the $500,000 from the city would, apparently the mayor is still interested in, using it for that purpose. And Senator Hinchey had $100,000 in, was it SAMS funding? Is that the correct?
That's correct. It was trying to remember the right word. It's not in contract, but it is an award to the county for that funding.
To the city.
Right.
No, the county.
The county. Mm-hmm.
Right. Sorry.
And I think our at least one of my concerns would just be to make sure that if we are transferring property and, offering either monetary or other services, that there'd be, I think our chair referred to it as a clawback, but it would be more of a lien on the property for a certain number of years. Or are you waiting to see what the SOQs are going to come back with?
Well, yeah, I do. So as far as the procurement process, I think it would be correct for the SOQ to happen. And then, of course, any sort of transfer would have to be approved by the legislature. So I think that would all happen. So it would come back to the legislature. And there could be discussion prior, because I think it'd be great to have everything lined up. And that's all with the county executive level.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, certainly I can point to Silver Gardens and the 30-year agreement that we are working on for that, where there would be a basically a recapture agreement for 30 years to be sure that it has a 30-year affordability. And that's a separate affordable housing and funding, but it's just a model at this point.
Okay.
So,
the ARPA money from City of Kingston, keeping that available to go to a nonprofit owner, if we can go that route, makes sense. But it just occurred to me, would we have any problem with that New York State money going to a nonprofit? Or
so I'm not, in my mind, I'm not, I haven't done all the research that SAM award did go to the county. It was, I believe it's a pre-award. And, you know, based on, I was involved in the application, so I mean, the application was for what we were planning to do at 21 Elizabeth. So I think there'd have to be.
Might have to be spent
work
before we transferred, or.
I don't have all the answers on.
Okay. But you're aware of it, and we'll follow that through. Okay. That satisfies me.
The SAM grant, is that only for a build out, or can we charge the engineering, the architecture, and all the things that we've done thus far?
The SAM grant isn't even in contract yet with DASNY, with the state, so there's no availability of funds currently. And the whole,
I guess I'll hone in a little closer on my question. You wrote the grant, and the grant was for construction or planning, or
it was to support the renovation of 21 Elizabeth into emergency housing for families.
Okay, and that support.
Yeah.
Therefore, the engineering charges we've already incurred, architecture, all of those things that we have already spent money on.
No, I don't think it would support that.
Typically, those types of grants, if you spend money before the grant contract is signed, it's not an eligible expense. That's typical. We will see. You can check that, but that's typical.
You made my point.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I think either way, we'll be saving quite a bit. I mean, it was escalating where a government, things always just seem to cost three or four times more and take a significant amount of red tape and time. Legislator Erner, did you have anything?
Okay.
On the motion to postpone, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Resolution 468 was postponed in committee, or no action was taken. That's Health Committee, I'm sorry. Resolution number 556, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement. Oh, could we do a block? Can we block 556 and 557?
I'll make a motion to block.
Okay, second?
Second.
All right, on the motion to block?
Aye.
Okay, and I'll open it up for discussion.
Move the block.
Okay.
I'll second the block.
All right. Questions? No?
Very right. Happy with the
vote. Yeah, exactly. All right. Hearing none, I'll call the vote on the block. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Resolution number 570, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a lease agreement with Access Supports for Living, Inc., to provide mental health services to the community at Golden Hill Office Building.
I'll move it.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Any questions?
This is just a lease agreement,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Revenue generator. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Hearing none, I will call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 571, amending the 2023-2028 Capital Improvement Program, establishing capital project number 671, UCSO, corrections, dishwasher.
I'll move it.
Thank you.
Second? I will second that, and I want to be a sponsor.
Okay. So I guess there's no discussion on they need a dishwasher. Legislator Erner.
They needed it a while ago.
Second. Okay. Do we know how long we expect the new dishwasher to last and what its capacity is for washing dishes? Like, in other words, is this the dishwasher at the jail?
First of all, you're going to reimagine what you think of as a dishwasher. It takes up a whole portion of a room. Very large machine.
It's got like a bell line on it. There's a conveyor belt that's just kind of, yeah. Whoa! I need one of those.
Have you seen the one that's there now?
I mean,
no.
Yeah. The one when we took the tour.
I've seen the washing machine.
It's to replace the one that's been broken forever, and it's actually I think larger than the one that's there.
So these things are. They are custom, but they're certainly modular. You know, this is not like an off-the-shelf product. Mm-hmm. So I don't think you asked specifically about
how long is it going to last, and does it wash will it wash all the dishes we need to wash? There?
But and also for as long as how long it lasts.
Well, the one that's there now was original to the building, and that building is 30 years old.
No,
almost
less
than 20.
2004, 2003,
20. Yeah, around that era.
For 20 years.
20 years.
Yeah. By the time it was finished, it was later.
Right.
The dishwasher has been washing dishes for maybe
20 years.
15.
May I continue? Thank you. So I see we have a 1-year parts and labor warranty. Are we getting any maintenance contract, or are we going to fix it in house? I know we spent like $88,000 in over the past 5 years to fix it.
That I can't answer.
Anybody building some grounds calls?
A resolution on by the sheriff. Public Works is not carrying this. This is the sheriff's project.
Yeah, I'm thinking as far as maintenance goes, you don't fix everything.
I would imagine, I would imagine they have a maintenance agreement.
Yeah.
They're going to have a maintenance agreement for the first couple of years.
But I think this already went through Ways and Means. I'm not sure that question was asked. So, but we could
question,
ask it of the sheriff's office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Another monetary question, but I see the equipment sale price was about $111,000. The resolution has $125,000 for equipment and capital outlay, and then there was $150,000 appropriated in the capital budget. So there's some $152,000 overall that I'm seeing. Can anybody explain all the difference there?
I know. It's to remove the old one and to install the new one. The old one is such a beast. It's all stainless steel. It has to be literally torched apart and taken apart and taken out.
Wow.
Okay. I know that from my purchasing days. They've been trying to replace this for years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like massive.
Yeah. Huh. I've been in the kitchen. I don't remember seeing it. It's just the washing machine.
Oh, you can't miss it.
To the side for trays and like the whole kind of room area to the side when you walk in on the right.
Sure.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
But yeah, we should have a maintenance plan on it. Yeah. Okay, I will call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 578, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into a lease extension agreement with Pine Professional Center, LLC, for office space currently occupied by the Ulster County Probation Department located at 124 Main Street, New Paltz.
I move it.
Thank you. Second? Question.
It's only to the end of the year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are they moving out, or are you getting a new lease, or what's going on?
The landlord wants to renovate the building.
Okay.
And they don't want to renew the lease. So we asked if they could just stay in through the, you know, probation, if they could stay through the end of the year and hold off on the renovations. They said that's okay.
Where are they going to go?
Yeah.
As part of the search.
No. Warehouse.
Okay.
You can't move that. It's only 2 months away, though. Wow. Okay. Legislator Erner.
Thanks. I understand what was just discussed and that this is also an amendment, but there wasn't any other backup, which surprised me. Normally we'd have some other information, but this is the only stuff that we got in the packet. The amendment in that.
Yes, because it's a lease extension. It's an amendment, basically, to the lease.
Wouldn't we normally see the original lease with that, though?
I can make sure that when it's sent.
Thanks.
Over.
Okay, I'm going to call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Next, resolution number 580, approving the execution of a contract for $105,000 entered into by the county with CPL Partnership LLC.
I'll move it.
Second. And this is for consulting. Yes.
Oh,
this, I can't call you legislator.
I know.
But I don't know. I'm kind of throwing titles out there. Mr. Parody? Okay.
So this is the one for the probation office.
Okay.
HVAC system is for design. This project is to replace the existing HVAC system with an all-electric system. So, and replace eight rooftop units.
Mm-hmm.
So this is expired.
The design.
Yes, this is for the design of a system.
And they're going from gas fire to heat pumps?
So there are significant issues in the probation building right now with both temperature and humidity, to the point where there are issues with mildew on walls, wallpaper peeling, temperature is very out of whack.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of doing significant replacements of units, this is to look at redesigning the system to better manage the building and also to electrify it at the same time.
Isn't this a newer building, or have I just been around for a while?
The newer portion of the building.
Mm-hmm.
There was the renovation of what became restorative justice.
Yeah.
That had been
okay.
A storage area.
That's what happened to the storage area over there, because in the space study, this is one of the whatever overutilized buildings. Okay. All right. Any other questions? I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 581, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $73,234.55, entered into by the county with Creighton Manning Engineers.
Motion I'll move it.
Thank you.
Second.
Mr. Parody, this one is for.
Yes, this is the bridge is open. It had some delays due to fabrication material that was that would have been sent during the winter and needed to be cured over the winter.
Oh.
Concrete would have needed to be cured over the winter. We decided to put a hold on it because it wouldn't have been in the best interest of the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, but they had to continue to perform construction inspection services during that time, mm-hmm. during that delay.
Mm.
And this resolution, or this amendment, rather, basically covers that additional time.
Good. Makes sense. Yeah, it always seems everything gets approved just in time for winter. Legislator Litz.
So this 73 will take them to the end of the project? We won't see another amendment?
This is the last
time. Okay. Good.
The bridge is open. It opened. So.
They must be very happy.
Legislator Erner.
Thank you. And I appreciate the Public Works team thinking about the best interest of the bridge. I'm wondering, the original Schedule A had the anticipated start date January 21, anticipated completion September 22. Did they not fulfill that on their end, because of something like under their control, or what? Why wasn't it done then?
So the problem with the delay was not that it had nothing to do with the designers, and it had nothing to do with Creighton Manning. It had something to do with their.
It was the bridge material manufacturers.
Yeah.
Steel beams. There was a significant delay on getting the beams here.
I've been hearing that with steel and decking.
Yes.
Well, not the decking, but the steel.
The concrete, to pour the concrete would not have been in the best interest of of everyone to pour in the winter.
Yes.
But this is for the construction inspection oversight, and they had to go out and do field work, even though there was no work being done. They had to go out, I guess, and do periodic inspections on the bridge while it was closed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you. Good. Any other questions? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 5, do I have to read the whole thing? 582, amending the 2023-28 capital improvement budget for the replacement of the Wolven Bridge over the Sawkill Creek.
I'll move it.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion, questions on this one? Okay, hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 584, amending the 2023-28 capital improvement program, replacement of the Fantine Kill Bridge over the Mombacus Creek in the town of Rochester.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions, comments on this one? Hearing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 586, approving the execution of a contract for a rate anticipated to exceed $50,000 entered into by the county with the Tier Real Estate LTD. Motion for discussion.
I'll move it.
I'll second it for discussion.
I think she says Petiri.
Petiri, oh, okay. Petiri. Okay. Legislator Litt.
This is for the acquisition of real estate for one of the bridges?
No.
What's this for?
This would be Deputy Laval. Throw that question to her.
I'll hand it to her.
That's very genteel of you.
This is for real estate services for the county. First and foremost on the agenda is the marketing and disposition of 701 Grant Avenue. So this we went out for through an RFP for real estate services. It was publicized in our normal manners, but also emailed directly to the Board of Realtors. We received two respondents. We selected Kateri Real Estate. They did have the lowest percentage fee on on the sale of 701 Grant Avenue.
So they're going to market it?
Yes.
Who's going to manage it between now and then?
That's the question.
It is currently being managed by a property manager.
Mm-hmm.
That contract goes through the end of the year.
Okay.
It is Kateri in her property management. It is also Karen Kateri, but as
so it's the same
manager.
The same. Okay.
And we did bring up the questions about a possible conflict. Is there an end date to this sale? So
to the sale.
Yeah.
So
I mean, there is for the management, but if it doesn't get sold for 18 years, we still need to pay somebody to manage it. Yeah.
The one consideration is that we cannot close on a sale and be out of the building. You know, we can't physically be out of the building, whatever agreement or arrangement that might be, until we have some place to go. So we currently have buildings and grounds working out of there. We have things that are being stored there that would be stored in a warehouse or in a shop. There's nowhere left to go. So we will need some place to put our people and our operations. However, other than that, I think we can balance all these things in order to get things going.
Legislator Litz?
So, right now they have a contract to the end of the year for management services.
Yep.
When this goes into effect, why didn't we write into the RFP for these services to also manage it while we had it under sale? Or
since we were already under contract with the property manager, we were seeing those as two separate things.
And I think there was some hope that they might be different individuals or businesses, or there could have been. And at the discussion in Ways and Means last night, there was the strong suggestion that that would be preferable. I think it would be preferable if they were different. And if you write them together, the problem is still there. It's ameliorated a little bit, maybe, but the idea would be that if you have the same individual or business managing the property as selling it, that there would be an incentive not to sell it because you're bringing in money managing it.
Mm-hmm.
The counter argument, I think, is that the amount of money to be made by selling the building is much, much greater than by managing the building. And managing the building, we did get a good rate on that so that they could anticipate going in, that it wouldn't be such a great loss to sell the building. And so there isn't it is a pull in a different direction. It's not an ethical conflict of interest. It's just that we are not potentially maximizing the effort to sell versus the effort to manage. And if we had opportunities to do that, then we would want to do that. But we didn't get good options on either case to be able to really split those functions out.
I think the other real estate option was the management company that wasn't paying the taxes on it. So
was it
the real estate agent who's working with that management?
Who's working with it? Yeah.
What are we going to do after January 1st?
So we will need to go out again for property management to prepare that. That would be a new agreement or a new contract. We can look at language at that time
mm-hmm.
that could talk about timelines, when we're under contract for selling the building, et cetera, from an accepted offer. There may be ways to put that into a subsequent property management contract so that contractually we're thinking about that and minding kind of what's going on there for just those reasons that were brought up last night in caucus and in here. However,
because the contract's $1.1 million, isn't it? $1.1 million with all of the updates and some equipment.
However,
that's a lot. Or 900,000.
No, because the taxes are paid by the county. There's a budget that has, there is a fee that is set for the property manager, and then there is a mechanism for the property manager to pay bills on behalf
mm-hmm.
of the county.
There's no removal.
There's no check fee, there's no percentage fee on those bills. So our budget for anticipated expenses incorporates that.
So you'll receive an invoice, basically, and
absolutely.
The realtor pays the bill.
Yeah, absolutely.
So monthly, at DPW, we receive all the invoices of the work that was done over there. There's security, there's pest control, mm-hmm. the full mm-hmm. gambit. And we check that, make sure everything is done. DPW issues one check to Viteri Real Estate. And then she pays all those invoices. So her contract, which I forgot what the total amount was.
I think it was 1.1, but it dropped down to 900.
It's
yeah.
the budget of the whole building.
Okay.
Her fee, Karen Viteri's fee, is $4,800 per month.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing she is making.
And there's no check fee or percentage or anything else.
And the way we're doing it at DPW is I'm actually looking over everything, but she comes in with her checks already made out to the vendor with the invoices to county waste, the pest control company, and everything like that.
Okay.
We verify it. Once she gets the check cut to her, she'll come back and sign all the checks, and we actually mail them out as well. So it's
a very
wow.
We have it down.
That makes me a lot more comfortable.
It's pretty good.
It's completely transparent.
I mean, I paid a contractor and he never paid his supplier, so I got sued. But I like what she came up with.
And just, you know, personally, like, I agree with thinking about the contract and the future of property management, but Viteri was also the listing agent for 368 Broadway that we purchased. She was concurrently the property manager, and anecdotally, it was that she was pushing for the closing, and it was perhaps our real estate agent that was dragging out the property. that's anecdotal around that person. I agree about the contract, but just
so she doesn't have a reason to hold on to it for 18 years.
Okay.
No. Legislator Litz, you had another question.
Are we going to preclude Viteri from responding to an RFP in January?
Or quote an RFQ? Is there reason to?
Well, we just heard that, we didn't want to combine them because we thought, they'll drag their feet because they're going to get a management fee and then they're going to do this. And then we allow them to bid, and they bid twice the amount they're bidding now, and so they're making a huge profit then.
It will still be put out.
It was done through a procurement. It was done through a bid. We received 3 bids when we put it out for the first time, and she was...
Which is why I'm thinking we should have included the management of the property in with this real estate contract so that you have one person doing all of it, and we're not going to be double-dipping or doing any of that stuff, because we're going to put out another RFP for managing the building, and she'll probably put in to manage the building, and she's also the real estate agent. So why didn't we do that in the first place?
Just the answer to that. I know when we took the building, we needed to have somebody, a property manager, ASAP, in that building.
I'm not saying anything different.
So I think that was the reason.
But this only goes to the end of the year,
right.
And we're not going to sell the building. There's no way we're going to sell that building between now and the end of the year, because you have to find a place for DPW and everything else. So. Seems to me if we put an RFP out and with this real estate, including management, starting January 1st, would have been the best thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the cheapest.
It could have been, but all other things being equal, which I don't think they are in this case, I would rather have it be 2 different people. All other things were not equal before because we needed it ASAP, and so it was broken out for that. And I would not want to exclude Viteri at this point because all other things will not be equal in that somebody else can't come in and design this system and run it. To start from scratch on it is not good. So I was not the one raising these issues at Ways and Means last night. I think there's some validity to them, but they don't determine the question for me.
I don't know.
But
I
this
manage,
way allows
I
it
manage
to argue
contracts,
it.
And whenever you have more than one entity or contractor or in the same space doing similar things, it never turns out well.
Well, I wish you'd been there last night to
way.
Say that.
It's this way and that way. And he did it, and she should have done it, and he should have done it.
By accident, we achieve the end that you say is the better end. So I think we should just leave it alone for now.
Okay.
And if she has the lowest responsible bid and this becomes an argument at Ways and Means or otherwise, you should come in and make the point that it's often done this way in business because of the efficiencies.
But what I would say is, again, we can look at things that would, around timelines with when it goes under contract, you know, when between contract and closing, that maybe speak to this direct issue regarding, you know, extending it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there would be not, that we would be concerned that it would be, the closing would be dragged out in order to have another month of property management fee. So.
It's not the way I would have done it, but it's history now.
I don't think we had authorized the sale of the property until after we approved the management company. I'm thinking that's what some of the issues were with the time frames, weren't they? Or did we do all that at once?
And I would also be concerned because the state, if we do it as a Venn diagram of property managers and commercial real estate agents, like, okay, so guess what? We just found one who does both, right? But the other real estate agent that responded is not a property manager, and the two other property managers that responded aren't real estate agents. So we happen to get the one.
And when if we wrote the RFP that way, that would have been the one we would have gotten.
Then other people would have had issues with it being too selective and being too prescribed and gearing it towards one person.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a tough one. Yeah. And I mean, I think the other bids came in, one property manager was $5,200 and one was substantially higher.
One was
like
real,
$10,000.
It was a while back, but one was, I think it was about $10,000.
Yeah.
And another one was a percentage. It was a set fee, but then a percentage of the leases that were in the building.
Yeah.
And that was around $7,000 or $8,000 if we added it with the leases.
So. Okay.
Call the question.
Call the question.
Oh, no, unless Phil's got something to say.
Did we actually, as a legislature, weigh in and say, we don't want to keep this, there's no county purpose that we see this property possibly serving? Or is this sort of, I know that has been the sense of the body, but I was just trying to remember if we actually said this legislature wants to get rid of this and then do that, please, administration.
That we did a resolution for the sale.
We sort of kind of did, but we are the tenant also. Yeah. And until the tenant has some place to go.
One of the
probation will need something.
One of the tenants.
Okay, call a question. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Resolution number 587, establishing capital project number 678 for the purchase and acquisition of real property located at 1711, 1715 Ulster Avenue, Lake Katrine, for the purpose of a warehouse, storage, and office space.
I'll
motion.
Move it.
Thank you.
I'll second it.
Okay. Actually, the deputy was getting more pushback from me because of the office space study, but I did read the office space study, and it clearly says that Public Works is overutilized and needs storage.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like we sell property, and then we go buy something else, and then we're... And
we want to buy
Public
the
Works is just like their third... location?
You guys moving out of downstairs?
Downstairs? Down here?
Yeah.
From our building?
From Shamrock or from the county building?
No.
You're downstairs too?
If we buy this, are you going to live in the warehouse?
No.
There's not enough room in that office space at the warehouse. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, what are you going to do with the house out front? Are you going to keep renting
that's
that?
That's an issue.
That's a good issue.
You folks to
it is a good issue.
Yeah. Okay.
But while we're talking
and
about
it's
it,
occupied?
I just want to pass this out real quick.
Okay.
This is one page of many on the space in the space study.
Oh,
that
you should double tie.
Thank you. Yeah. Right. I was hoping for a bigger audience tonight. Sorry.
Oh,
one page.
Sure, thanks.
Sure. Of the space study, of the market analysis that was done for warehouse space, and you'll see where I highlighted, not too evenly. That's this exact location that we're talking about buying, and it is the it's the cheapest, yeah. Mm. The most inexpensive.
Well, but
it
so
meets our needs.
Leasing, though, so is it comparable for?
Yeah, well, at the time they did this snapshot, it was only available for lease. When we sent out the RFP for properties that were interested in selling it, that's when they responded. So they didn't have it listed as a property that was for sale. They only had it listed for property that was for lease.
How many square feet is it? It was in the
12,000. At $9 a square foot, that's what I was just trying to figure out, what it would cost if we had leased it, and what the savings will be at $1.5 million to purchase it.
Well,
12,048.
There was a lease approved last year for this exact location, and it was for a 5-year lease. I think it was just about $500,000.
It was $400,000.
But that did not include the taxes that we were required to pay
as part of the lease.
That was brought up, and we have to ask legal counsel that the town of Ulster supervisor would like us to pay the fire district tax. And my question is, can a county pay tax, even if it's fire district? Are we wholly tax exempt? So, and I guess I'll have to wait for that question.
We do make towns whole. And
we have with town Ulster quite a bit.
Yeah, the county makes towns whole.
But you don't pay the property taxes, though. Or is it standard that you pay library district, fire district?
I don't know.
We pay school tax.
We don't. The county does not make villages whole. That's
okay.
Always a fight.
All right.
I
just want to commend you for finding a very good building, but it sounds like a very reasonable price, and not leasing it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, bringing it to us to purchase. Thank you.
With a house in the front for a probation department.
Yeah.
Is that house leased right now? Is there currently
tenants? It is.
So there is people living in it. It's month to month.
Okay.
Right now. They did talk to us when we were out there and said that they were actively looking to purchase a house.
Oh, okay. So, all right, good for them. Okay.
No matter what
so
the building's
been
yeah, they, they've been actively looking. It's a family. I think in the leases, they pay $1,800 a month.
All right. So we're not looking to put anybody
we're
out?
Not,
okay.
Yeah, right now it's...
We know how to be landlords now.
So they want to buy the house?
No, they're actively looking to buy a house.
Should make them an
a
offer.
House, yes.
Maybe they would be willing to buy it.
Subdivide it
to a lot line.
Yeah, but we could put affordable housing there. We could put the homeless people that we want to put.
It may be affordable housing right now, and we can just keep those people in the house.
Yeah.
At $1,800 a month
for a house?
Yeah, $1,800 is a one-bedroom.
Actually, it's a
that's a good price.
Yeah,
that's good rent.
Those are going for $26.
That's what I said. It could be affordable housing. Now, we could ask Dennis. four rooms. Yeah,
that's
that might
yeah,
be
26 to 28 market rate.
Below market.
So,
Legislator Erner.
Thank you. The market value is about half of what we're going to pay to buy this. I just wanted to note that.
Market value?
Yeah.
Like on the parcel viewer.
On the parcel viewer, which
so
is not...
The assessed value?
No, not the assessed value. They have land value, assessed value, market value. Market value went up quite a bit in the past year even on the parcel viewer, but it does have like 700-something K as the market value.
So we have we had an appraiser. We had to get the contract through. The appraiser was actually doing all the background work. He was out there today. And he gave us a preliminary report just because I knew we were coming to talk about it today. And he has the property in approximate at $1.35 million and $1.410,000.
So it's right in the range of what we're paying. We're going to have this final report. He's going to have it to us by Tuesday.
And what's our offer?
1.4.
1.4, okay.
And the capital is, we're looking to establish it for 1.5. And that's what was in the book.
Okay.
Yeah.
And does it need any work, or do we just take the key, open it up the door, and then we go?
We had the inspection done as well. Very little work, and it all can be done by our staff.
Okay.
So that we did in talking to the owner. Inside the building, there's metal shelving that they have in there, some work tables. So we worked it out that he was going to sell that, mm-hmm. and actually equipment as well. He was going to end up selling it.
Mm-hmm.
He agreed to leave all that in there to fix the issues that were found.
And the appraisal was done by the Attorney and Hubble.
Oh, okay.
They did your appraisal for the Paradise Lane property in New Paltz.
I have nothing to do with it.
Oh, I'm sorry, not your. It's
the same company that did the Paradise Lane appraisal that the legislature asked for.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Hearing no other questions, we'll call a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Alrighty. Resolution number 597, establishing a policy to expand paratransit services. Motion for discussion.
I'll move it.
Second?
Second for discussion.
Thank you. Legislator Erner.
Thank you. So,
No, you don't have to go. You can stay.
Okay.
Just remember to bring home the ice cream when you go.
I'm sorry, just that this time in the evening, we don't have any further resolutions from you, as I was noticing.
Oh, but there is the open space. Is that why you're going to hang out?
Can we interrupt the discussion of this?
Yes.
Just kind of skip over a couple and go to
a
debate whether it's new business or old business, but and we did just get it, so I mean there are 500 pages.
Right. All of us.
but I guess we're just looking at a brief overview.
Yes. So it's just an overview. You're correct. 500 pages. We're still digesting it also, and I think at our last meeting I said that it would be here before this meeting.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Give it to you folks. You folks could digest it also for a month or so, or for a week or so.
Okay.
And then Bergman would come and do a presentation where we would invite you folks to, and they would make a presentation and answer your questions, concerns, comments, and then issue a final report.
Okay.
So would the plan still be to do that, and should we think about a special meeting to do that?
Yeah.
Because if we wait a month...
No, not a month. I didn't mean to say a month.
Didn't say that. I'm saying that you offered to do it at the next meeting if we had it ahead of time. Mm-hmm. But we didn't, so we have it ahead of time, so we couldn't do it at this meeting. So I would think a special meeting might be in order.
And the 23rd, we do have a joint Public Works and Ways and Means meeting at 4.
What day?
That is Monday the 23rd.
That's for the capital improvement.
That's for the capital improvement.
Yes, but a lot of what we'll be talking about in the capital program has an awful lot to do with the space
study. With the
open
space, with the study.
So not open space.
I know, you're saying open space. I don't know why that's gotten stuck.
You spent special meetings on October 23rd?
Yes, Monday.
Or it's a joint Ways and Means and... Oh, you think... Uh-oh. Yeah, we're going to...
We should do that.
You want to do the same or before?
We're going to talk about a lot.
I mean, there's also public notice, too. I mean, this is... What is today?
11? We got time.
We do. Yeah. We have next week.
I was thinking.
We do have next week.
Since it originated from this committee, that we would invite you folks here or to our office and have a presentation done. Make sure to have Bergman give you the presentation.
Ooh, get to go on a little road trip.
That way,
not a far road trip.
I think it'd be great to have them give the presentation before we have our joint meeting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You mean the same day or the week before?
Yeah.
Members of that committee are going to want to see it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, I appreciate your being willing for.
Do you have a calendar?
This committee
yes, I have a calendar. So the 23rd, the meeting on the 23rd is at 4:00.
Given where we are in the calendar, I think we should. But
two.
Maybe we could do it at 3:00.
Is an hour long enough?
Why don't we do that? This is part of that week, that meeting.
That meeting starts at 4:00.
Starts at 4:00, and that's specifically to go through the capital plan document.
Yeah.
Do this space study at 3:00.
Okay.
Do it at 3:00.
Send it out to everybody then.
I can talk to Natalie and John if Ways and Means can make it to 3:00.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess an hour would be enough time. And I think my only
question
is,
we start at 4:00 and we just go an hour later. That's all. I mean,
bless you.
God bless you. Well, we start at 4:00 and go an hour later.
I saw some other things in the draft RFP that I'm not sure if they addressed. They had made comments about, reconfiguring office space because it was adequate, but it just needed some tweaks. And I thought, wasn't that part of the RFP where they're supposed to provide, further recommendations and design? And also there was one comment about the lease with Board of Elections, but they could move into Golden Hill, I guess. But I only saw that in one or two, and I'm sure we have more than one or two folks that are leasing. And I'd like to see them move into a building we own, not into another lease.
Okay. Again, it's 500 pages long, and I do know that one of the options...
Now I know what happened to my day.
...is to move them to the Board of Elections to a county-owned building at Golden Hill Office Building.
Yeah.
So that's an option.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, but I thought that was like the only one I saw. I mean, there wasn't anything about probation, but I guess they didn't have a crystal ball, so they didn't know that we weren't extending that lease. But again, these are all leased buildings. If we can move all of our leased folks into buildings that we own, we don't have to worry about getting evicted.
Yeah. Probation lease that you were talking about tonight, that's for a small office.
Very small.
For 1,000 square feet in New
Paltz.
As you remember, Board of Elections lease, that's a pretty sizable
lease.
That's
a big building, yeah.
Pretty expensive lease. So I think there are two different animals. And we do have other leased properties that we will never, we will always have a lease with.
Okay, lease, like Vandale.
Like the Isopus Fire Sheriff's Department, we're trying to cut a lease with the town over in Isopus.
I was told not to mention that one.
Sheriff's substation.
I was told don't bring this. I didn't bring that up. You'll get me in trouble.
No, I just mentioned it. There's some other DSS offices around that we have to, do the confidentiality. It can't be on the same site.
Right, which makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Innovation Center.
Or
all
crime victims
things.
Or any of those. Yeah. Okay. So is 3:00 on the 23rd, if it's available, is that an hour enough time to go through that document and ask questions?
Yes.
2:00 too early, 2:30?
It should be more than an
hour.
It should be more than an hour?
If the report's 500 pages.
Yeah.
2:00.
2:00?
You're cutting into my work day now.
Yeah.
I don't understand why we just don't start it at 4:00 and just run until we're done.
We have to do Ways and Means first.
This is just a special meeting to go over the capital, exclusively the capital improvement plan.
Could we shoot for 5:00 then?
You could do the capital plan thing. You could do the meeting agenda first.
Mm-hmm.
And then
do
that.
There's gonna be things in that capital plan that are totally related to the space study, not the open space, but the space study. Why would you put the cart before the horse?
That's why I'm suggesting
you want to discuss.
Because this has already been noticed, the Special Ways and Means Committee meeting beginning at 4. So I think to see this...
That is fine, but it doesn't say what the agenda is. The first thing on the agenda is the report out of Bergman.
And
then we go on to the capital program. And they are related. They're intertwined so much you can't even tell the difference.
So that would require the Chair of Ways and Means to put that on the agenda that way, which seems likely.
Is the agenda already out? No.
The only thing on the agenda right now is just to go over the capital improvement plan, which is a very extensive meeting that you guys do every year.
Mm-hmm.
And so adding
and
this
on... And it takes 2 to 3 hours to do.
Would not be... Yeah. Everybody's already cleared their calendar for that day anyway.
To begin at 4 o'clock and take 2 to 3 hours plus a presentation, it will make it 4 to 5 or 5 to 6 hours. So even starting at 4 o'clock...
Like one of our caucus meetings.
Oh, I don't know. I've been here for like 4 hours already today, and we're not even done yet.
No. Well, we don't have too far to go.
I just like to get it done in one shot.
Have the clerk we could, so we'll have it the same day. It's just... I'll reach out to Gaveras to see where we want to put it on the agenda.
Because right now we're starting at 4, right?
Yeah.
At 4.
4, correct.
I could probably do 3, but if you go any earlier than that, you're cutting into my work.
Okay.
Let's see if they can do 3.
Yeah.
I think it could get late.
Mm-hmm.
Would you let me know so I can notify you? With all due respect.
Yes.
We'll give you 10 minutes.
You want
notice?
Advance notice?
And it's not even Bergman anymore. It's
no,
Collier.
Thank you.
It'll always be Bergman.
Okay, thank you.
Now you can go home. Are you going home?
Bring ice cream.
Yeah, but you can go home and you can't go no place else.
Yogiism?
I think I heard that from your father.
Okay. Thank you, legislator.
We're getting punchy now.
Thank you both.
Take care.
Sure. 1, 2, 3, 5.
All right. So back to, and we had a motion in a second on Resolution 597, establishing a policy to expand paratransit services.
Yes. So this is actually... in the state legislature right now, and what I'd like actually is to ask if the administration can determine what it might cost for us to do ourselves. I'm not going to ask us to advance this tonight, though, because I don't have that information.
And I think I don't quite understand the paratransit, because I'm hearing that if you're within a certain mileage, then they bring you to a bus route, but then I thought it was to take people to doctor's appointments, and part of it was contractual with Office of the Aging, but I was at a workshop with them at a senior meeting, and they were actually looking for volunteers to drive people to doctor's appointments. So it's just the whole system is, there's so many...
So with Office of the Aging, they... would get 5310 funding to do that. So they purchase the vehicle, and we would take people to...
You provide the driver?
And they pay for the driver. They don't do that anymore. So we handle all of that on our own. We don't get paid from Office of the Aging anymore. That's 5310 is a lot of paperwork and a lot of time for one person to... be dedicated to that program. We incur the cost now to make that our paratransit run.
Okay.
So our paratransit run, yes, you're correct, we only go to 3/4 of a mile off the route to pick somebody up. However, if the way they used to do it, if that fixed route service was not in the area at that time, they would not schedule a paratransit pickup. However, that has changed. We pick up anybody during the day that needs to go, whether the bus is in their area or not. If we go beyond that limit, we do not get paid for STOA. So STOA pays us 68 cents per mile, or 68 cents per passenger and $1.15 per mile for every mile that we go. We would lose those miles. On top of that, we would need quite a few more drivers to do that pickup. And I see that there is legislation, maybe once it's passed, that they would pay for the STOA for us to do it. And also, I think that our route study will also help with arranging or with figuring out the number of vehicles we have, the number of paratransit routes we need. Right now we have three paratransit runs that we can run in a day, and we run them anywhere from 4:45 in the morning to 11 at night. So we still do pick up three passengers from work in the evening and bring them out to Mount Marion to go home. So we are accessible at just about any time of the day. We can't just, you know, have a free-for-all of everybody making an appointment because we just can't pick them up.
So these are qualified passengers.
Right,
they
you
need
have
to fill
out
an
application.
Okay.
And it has to be, reviewed and signed by a medical professional and given back to
okay,
us.
So you do provide that service. Okay.
And I would just add, with the current resources that we have, both drivers and buses, even with those, it sometimes requires some finessing of the schedule in order to accommodate, to take all the folks who are requesting paratransit service to the point where folks who have very regular medical appointments, like just for example something like dialysis, you've gone the step of, if they have several people who are coming to the regularly to the same place using paratransit, you're getting them rescheduled for their treatment so that they can better take three people and then not have to to someone else.
We work with dialysis to schedule people that are in the same area so that we can pick them up and bring them to their appointments, because it's getting to the point where, honestly, so many people are going to dialysis right now. That's one of our heavy loads.
What is that trend?
Poor health. Poor health.
But just that to adequately
diabetes
manage the current load, the current request for paratransit use, it requires things like that to efficiently provide the service. So extending the service would, it takes both resources of both drivers and buses to do that, and to do that at a point where there's not necessarily the state funding behind that, it would take us a bit to put a number on that, as far as what that means as an impact to other service that UTAC can provide at this time.
Okay. Legislator Mayor.
You said that you're now picking up anyone during the day, whether or not the fixed route is active at that time. I just want to be sure I understood that correctly, and as of when that you've been doing that, because I have a constituent.
Since October 1st, 2022.
Okay. I definitely have a constituent since then who says that wasn't the case, so I just want to be super clear that that's your practice and your policy.
That it's not the case now?
Yes, that person has been told that they couldn't get an appointment for a pickup during, like, the lunch break period. That's what I'm talking about. If that's the case, I'd like to know that.
I think what you're talking about is they were talking about the paratransit lunch break, not the regular fixed route lunch break. If our paratransit driver is on a lunch break, no, they can't get picked up unless we have another open space on a second paratransit route. What I'm talking about is when our fixed routes are going through an area. So say we're in Phoenicia. I don't know. I'm just making reference. If we're in Phoenicia at 11 o'clock and you need a paratransit ride, yes, they would pick you up. Prior to that, at 10 o'clock, if we weren't in Phoenicia, they wouldn't pick you up. But now, if you call and request a ride, when that bus isn't in service there, we will still go and get you. it's not in reference to the paratransit vehicle. If our if our paratransit vehicle, if the driver's on a lunch break, we have to give them a lunch break. Mm-hmm. And as it is now, we don't give them one full hour at a time. We give them like a 30-minute, so that we can fulfill our pickup.
May I follow up?
There's a follow up.
I just had a simple question. Mm-hmm. You had mentioned before it's within 3/4 of a mile of the route. So you're not going everywhere. You can only go 3/4 of a mile from a route.
From a route, either way.
Okay.
So a mile and a half radius.
But that's just for general pickup. But if they qualify for, you will actually take them to a doctor's office. That's where I always
But
they have to live within 3/4 of a mile of a fixed route for that to happen.
Exactly.
Oh.
Or originate, whether they wherever they're getting picked up from. But
so if they live in Marlboro, they don't get any. Yeah. All right. Legislator Erner.
So, okay, I understand now that there's a different lunch break schedule. Can that be published so that folks who need the service know what to expect? Why not?
Not for paratransit.
How come?
We don't know what time the appointment's. So say you have to pick somebody up. The drivers are very, very flexible of when they take their lunch break. So that day, if somebody's calling for an appointment that day, or even the day before, because they try to have their lists all made up, and then in the mornings when the dispatcher gets in at 4:45, if there's additional pickups that came in by 4 o'clock the day before, they'll try to add them in. And that morning, they'll figure out when their lunch break is.
So they're adjusting to the need.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's no set lunch break like there is
the
bus route.
It's not like the K-bus where you go on break from 11:30 to 12:30 or the yellow 12:30 to 1:30. The paratransit, they adjust their schedule, and maybe sometimes they sit at the hospital and wait for pickups. They'll just call in and say, I'm on my lunch break right now.
So it sounds like the rider who needed a ride, was requesting a ride, could have gotten one by a follow-up question of, well, what time can you take me?
Exactly, yes.
And so that's what the message we need to get out there is, that if you have this need and you qualify, that you will get the service. It just cannot always be at exactly the time you request.
Right, and by our regulations, you can offer a ride an hour before or an hour after. So if you say you want to ride at 10 a.m. and we don't have it, we're well within our rights to say we can pick you up at 9 or 9:30, or we can pick you up at 10:30 or 11.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's helpful.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
I move we postpone this 1 month.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Right. Thank you very much. Okay. Now I think I finally get it. I thought that they picked you up and then dropped you off at the bus stop. It was so confusing to me.
They used to do that, and sometimes if we're very, very booked, they will ask them, do you want to do this?
If they could, okay.
And there are ladies that, women that come, they live up by Diamond Mill.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the well?
In Sovereignty. They insist on that. That's what they want to do.
Oh, okay.
They want to...
social event.
They want to ride the bus to Hannaford, and then we pick them up at Hannaford.
Okay.
And then we take them wherever they want to go.
All right.
We actually take... There's a... someone that comes in from Greene County with his mother to the children's home. In Lake, or not the children's home, it's off of 9W in Lake Katrine.
Spectrum mm-hmm. Services?
We go there and pick him up, and then he goes to Gateway.
Oh,
so
nice. Okay.
We do try to accommodate everybody that we can. Mm-hmm. It's just that
you need to get reimbursed for it.
Time in the day to get everyone who needs those services, unfortunately.
Okay, resolution number 598, requiring establishment and maintenance of periodic bus stop markers, Department of Public Works. Motion for discussion? Erner,
Second?
Second.
Okay. So, Matt, I got the message in our caucus last night that the sense of the caucus was this is bad policy. I understand that. My concern is identifying safe bus stop locations for our riders throughout the county and making it clear that the bus stops there, more so than we currently do. And I recognize this is really an administrative task. Obviously, if routes might change after the study, you'd do it then. But there's also some out-of-date schedules and locations where the bus doesn't even stop anymore. And I'm just hoping to have that that addressed. And yeah, just to clarify, I understand we're going to have a flag it down system for probably the rural areas in general, maybe in the villages, hamlets, and the city of Kingston there could be more posted stops, like just a simple sign that like you have mm-hmm. where I have seen them. That's really the intention of this. I don't, despite what it says, I actually don't know what the right interval would be. You guys probably do.
Those are, I think, some very accurate observations, that there's a lot of places that aren't safe, where people shouldn't congregate, where there's not good sight distance, where it's not safe. You don't want them waiting for a bus there. There's also a concern about perhaps unnecessary fixed objects in a road near a roadway, and adding more signage where it's not needed. It's a lot of things like that. But I think, first of all, the schedules are getting updated and put on the website. Tony finally has a full complement of deputies as of last week at UCAT.
You're here.
Mm-hmm. And with someone who is already diving into the website and making the website and the schedules more accessible.
The schedules will be interactive so that they're going to be ADA compliant. Right now they're just a picture on the website. They're ADA compliant because you can highlight the text. Mm-hmm. And if you're sight impaired, it mm-hmm. will read to you on a special machine. So we started that this week. We are also in the process of getting the, and I don't know the exact language because I'm not an IT person, to put the app. They need some sort of different language mm-hmm. that reads the app, and we'll have an interactive
QR code type thing.
It's not really a QR code, but our map will be up there, so you could actually see the buses. So he's
like
working with Bishop Peak, our app provider,
cool.
to do that. Mm-hmm. So
so you'll actually in real time see what the bus is.
You can see it on the website. We have an app now that you can get on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
This will be transferred to the website. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, bear
excellent.
With us. It'll get there. It's just we're in the process now. The schedules are being updated, and the maps are being updated, and we're starting to update the website with that.
Oh, cool.
The blue schedule's done. You can go and look.
And there was a request to meet your deputies, just if they have time to stop in and say
hi
at a meeting
mm-hmm.
or yeah.
They're both busy in the evenings with kids and flag football and that kind of stuff. So I do offer for them to come, but
we have a
maybe they could come
meeting.
To the Ways and Means and
in
presentation.
The afternoon, right?
Yeah, 4:00
on the 23rd.
Yeah.
Or maybe we should do a visit.
One has a very good background in planning your
mm-hmm.
recent hire.
He's the one that's doing the website. He's actually an IT.
He's
an IT
person.
He's done both things. Transportation planning and IT.
That's excellent.
So it's a good
set
for UCAT.
Cool.
So after everything kind of gets settled, then he can also start making some future proposals on.
Yep. And then I see,
get a CDL license. He could drive a bus.
Another requirement.
then, you know, identifications of places that are safe, that are being used as bus stops, or that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's a different, you know, kind of mapping that out. And then
I think that the transit study will help, too, because right now there's a lot of bike lanes in the city, and we did have all of our drivers take the course on bike safety that they were giving through the Y. They came and met with all of the drivers. However, I know bicyclists are supposed to know the rules, but maybe some of them don't. We had an incident last week where we had to pull the tape because the bicyclist did not yield for the passenger getting off the bus, and they were in the bus lane.
Oh, no.
But it could kind of go both ways. Maybe the driver should have not have opened the door, but I think he thought that the bicyclist was far enough away, but the bicyclist did not stop or slow down.
Can you share details about that in particular, like in the city, an incident? Not right now, but like point me to something where I can read about what happened.
There's nothing written down. Like, it was just.
It's part of you. There's probably a police report, I would assume.
No, she didn't get hit. She didn't get hit. The bicyclist then just chased the bus down.
Oh. What do you do when you catch
them,
a bus?
So they just radioed it in. No one got hurt.
Where did this happen? I'm sorry. Specifically?
On Ulster Avenue.
In town of Ulster.
It'll be up tomorrow morning.
Okay, thank you.
So it really, no one got hurt, but it wasn't.
It was a close enough call that you wanted to,
happen.
To take account of it.
I think that the transit study would be able to identify these places where bus stops can be designated and cannot be designated.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
All right, so
I would make a motion
to table this, or?
Respond?
Yeah.
Comes 1 month? Okay.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Resolution number 599, amending resolution number 553 of 2022 to clarify and expand requirements of public notification of changes to the UCAT bus routes and schedules. Motion for discussion. Erner, second.
Second.
No, thank you. Legislator Erner.
Well, I'm very heartened to hear the progress about the publication of schedule information and so forth. Mm-hmm. And the only thing left that this asks about is English and Spanish. Are all the schedules going to be bilingual?
We have Spanish schedules. In fact, yeah, they're required by FTA. And we do put them out on the buses and print them. And we've done a couple of little tablings at the church behind Rite Aid for some of the migrant workers that were in town, and we provided the Spanish.
I'm sorry, just to clarify, on the website they'll also have the all the same options as English readers to navigate?
Yes. I'll make sure that he is putting those ones up also.
Great.
Good.
I move we postpone this.
Okay.
I will second that. Yes.
Amanda made a good point. The website has an English-Spanish
icon. I've hit that on the county website. It's hard to get back to English.
And now that the schedules aren't being linked as PDFs, as fixed objects,
they'll be able to
translate it. So that's all.
Huh. Yes, thank you. That's what I was going to say, because in the past,
no more PDFs.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think those PDFs just went up quick. Yep. Last year when we were trying to make everything uniform. So I asked help to put those on.
Okay.
Did we vote?
Call the question? I thought I did, but I'll call it. No, I didn't. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 425 was postponed in the Health Committee. So move to resolution number 464, establishing a public transportation level of service policy. Motion for discussion?
Move it.
Erner, second?
Second.
Nolan, thank you. Legislator Erner?
Thank you. So
This we discussed also at length in caucus last night and in the committee of at the end of last meeting here. You know, I had prepared a speech and so forth, but I think you all have heard where I'm coming from on this. I guess what I would ask is, to the administration, we've discussed some trials of some of the things that are contemplated here, and I'd love to know what trials you could see doing. Maybe we can schedule a meeting afterward and talk about that. I don't expect an answer right now. And then I would say to my committee mates, one of the points that came up in the caucus, the Democrats caucus last night was, this is something like 19 resolved. I understand like maybe the format it could have been different, but I do think that it lays out you might not think it's a coherent policy, but like at least it tries to do what the title says and say this is a level of service. So that said, I'd be interested to know what my fellow committee mates feel are, if there's anything in here that feels doable. And again, I'm not asking for an answer right now because you're probably just seeing this.
And did you want to receive the original resolutions that were kind of pulled and put into this one to understand? I mean, I believe one of them was transportation to meetings.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to go over that either now or offline, but yeah, I mean, it was 427, 428, 429.
Yeah.
And then there was an amended version of this, which we did last time, but I added a few more things, including taking 433, which was a memorializing resolution, and put that in here. I understand that's a little unorthodox, but to me it unifies recognizing the limitations of what the county can do by itself and asking the state and federal government to help us with the other things that we'd like to see done.
I mean, I would be in favor of pulling that one, even if it was in the form of a letter, and then having Clerk Fabella ask us to sign off.
Okay.
What do you think of that?
Okay.
I mean, you get that through.
Or
also have some signatures. Legislator Litz.
We're open for discussion, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. I applaud you for trying to get everything in one resolution.
Thank you.
But I still believe it says TDB at the end. And what I don't want to see happen is we come up with a policy, and we say we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, without having a cost. And what we create is an unfunded mandate by which the county then tries to meet the policy and the law, since we pass it, and says it's $4.2 billion to create this transit system that will do everything that's in the resolution. I would like to see at least some sort of a magnitude, you know, rather than to be determined, you know, on what it would cost to accomplish what's stated in this resolution.
Like with the Housing Council, that was a very comprehensive, you know, cross projection.
Yeah, I will say I asked our staff and they
demurred.
Yeah, and the administration too. And I understand that's fair. This is a lot, and we heard last meeting at the end as well from Planner Doyle about expenses in terms of maintaining what we've already promised the people of Ulster County in terms of public transit. So, you know, I'll say, yeah, that's a totally fair request. Legislator Litz, I'll see what I can do about that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, now that you've given me the resolution numbers, I remember that they were separate. So, but and I don't know if I was one of the ones who favored them going together, but this, I appreciate the invitation to look at ones we could maybe pull back out, because I can't anticipate voting for anything that has so many different things. I don't think it's properly written. And maybe there may be a way to write it so that it's a policy and you have a separate policy document, and then the resolution just adopts the policy document. Mm-hmm. But having all those different resolves, when somebody might want to vote yes on resolve number one and no on resolve number two, it is the reason you don't generally have 19 different resolves, because people can't effectuate their vote. They're voting for a package, and that package may contain elements that they approve and ones they would like not to approve. I mean, that's what a policy is, but I just have not used to seeing it in the form of a resolution, and I don't want to go in that direction. There's clarity when your whereases lead to one or maybe two resolves and then a third to send it to the government officials that are concerned with this topic area. That I can handle. So if you can try to move in that direction, it will generate my support. And I will read through and try to give you a heads up on the resolves that to me seem to be ones that we should be resolving, that we should be committing ourselves to.
Mm-hmm. Legislator Erner.
Thank you. I appreciate very much the camaraderie and I'm feeling around this, and I guess I'll excerpt a little of what I was going to say, because I do think it's relevant based on what we've talked about already. To the extent that we can think about currently how we have two systems of transportation in a way, there's public transportation and there's private, but we all use the public infrastructure. We have, finite number of resources to do transportation, whether we're expending them individually as households or collectively as the people of Ulster County. And the environmental justice and socioeconomic equity concerns, the public safety and security, I think it's in all of our interest to do more transportation publicly. That's my opinion, part politically, but I think it's backed up by economics and some hard facts too. Is that going to happen overnight? No. Is that going to happen necessarily just through a county policy? No. There's also cultural things we have to deal with. I acknowledge. But if we can think about it that way, that's what I'm trying to get us to do.
But I mean, that's been going on for years. 80% of our transit is paid through what, 5310, 5307? 5307. And that comes directly from your federal income tax. So we all are paying for our transit system, or at least 80% of it. So, I mean, that's something that's been going on for 50, 60, 70 years.
And that's part of the argument for allocating 10%, which is the sort of where it's landed for now, to non-motorized transportation and trail construction and so forth, because people pay for the transportation system whether or not they're using roads.
Right.
They all have to use bridges, I think, at some point.
But they are your TAP grant program,
yes,
which just
yes.
came out.
Transportation Alternatives Program.
Program is mm-hmm. paid through your taxes.
Exactly.
So we are already paying for non-motorized transportation.
Right, but there are some people who want to roll that back because they say it's not transportation. But I think it's really important what Legislator Erner has been bringing and others, to emphasize multimodal transportation and public transportation. And, to encourage the public sector to pick up on the places where the public transportation has gaps. I mean, the whole notion of Uber and Lyft and other, that's individual private enterprise filling gaps. And maybe there are some ways that our area, which is a rural area, could benefit by supporting the development of some of those private systems. including through having vouchers that allow somebody to use that if there's not a if there's not a UCAT bus. It could end up being quite a bit cheaper to help that happen. I don't go as far as Legislator Erner in terms of wanting to kind of appropriate the private sector individual cars and have people drive that haven't volunteered to do that or aren't getting paid in some fashion. But I think that the impulse to want to have the whole sector work together is really healthy, and we should support that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Legislator.
No, I was just going to say, and this last few rounds of the TAP program is the largest it's ever been in history. So we are dedicating a lot more money towards alternative transportation.
And it's helping my district. We have a project that's just beginning and that our consultants are going to come out and tell us about soon that is TAP funded at, coming from High Mount down towards Big Indy in the rail corridor or in the corridor that goes from Bel Air Mountain Ski Center down to Pine Hill Lake and serves two or more hamlets and fronts on thousands of acres of Catskill Forest Preserve land. It was an amazing project. And without TAP funding, we would not be doing that project because it would be it'd be out of our reach. And it will actually prevent, in my estimation, lots and lots of cars from making very short, unnecessary trips that people would prefer to make on foot if they had a safe off-road place to do it. So it's a perfect example of what that those kind of monies can do, I think.
Legislator Erner.
I just want to clarify. I didn't intend to suggest that we should be calling on volunteers to do a job that should be paid. I think either we pay folks or as we transition our transport system, recognizing all these limits that I've mentioned, just we might have to think about the whole. It's a holistic thing. Right now, it seems to be segregated to me, I guess is my point.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So are we postponing this one?
Motion to postpone.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Resolution number 551, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 11 of 2023, a local law providing for the protection of vulnerable road users' bill of rights at trail crossings to be held November 14th. Motion for discussion?
I'll move to postpone immediately without discussion.
Okay. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Yes, Deputy LaValle. Ma'am.
Party favors. Here's a map of the trails and the county roads.
Oh,
my God.
Cool. So there was 85
That's brilliant.
Miles
Thank
of
you.
Trails.
Thank you.
These are trail crossings at Ulster County Road.
Wow.
And the big X's are current trails.
Wow, that's so
if you,
cool.
Originally, this map is 30 by 40. So there's some smaller X's. We took a little bit of teasing out. Those are not developed segments. It would be, if those segments were to be developed, those would be crossings at County Road.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So it gives you a sense of it. And also the currently almost done Kingston Rail Trail, which is the segment that will connect from Washington Avenue down this way, is the yellow here. But that's almost ready to be green. And it is important to note that trail doesn't extend past. There is no formal trail on the other side of Washington Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
There's an access road along the
And is there clear signage
trail.
There encouraging will be,
like,
people
everybody
to
off?
Okay. Okay.
End
yeah.
of the line.
Okay. Excellent.
Doesn't continue.
Which is whack because it's so dangerous there.
Yes.
Like to be solved. Still to be solved.
Which is always good to hear.
So I count 14. Is that what? Did you count?
Well, there's a challenge, 7, 8, 9.
I like to count it 14.
14, yeah.
Yeah.
14. And I can't see the little 14. X's, that's the future.
14. And I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 little X's.
So,
and where are
they? Less than 20.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
That would
six.
Be.
1 in Wawarsing.
Yeah, I have 1 in Wawarsing. I had to circle them. 1 in Wawarsing, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on the 28 corridor.
Okay. Got it. This is fabulous. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Who did? Cool.
This is...
David?
David Stoss.
David
okay.
Stoss.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Stoss, for the record.
If
yes.
I may also,
thank
one
you.
Other point, just to the chair had a comment on bridge conditions.
Yes, I've been hearing 50% of our bridges are yellow flagged.
So what I can, and I am looking to you because I can't find a crosswalk between yellow and poor.
That's two different things.
Okay.
You have a bridge rating that goes from 0 to 7. 7 is brand new. Anything below a 4 needs work.
Okay.
Anywhere in the scale could need work. Mm-hmm. But elements that are critical that need work will get a lower number.
And what's the closure number?
What do you mean?
I mean, when
if
it gets below 3 tons, when, yeah. If it can't
well,
take
if,
3 tons.
Well, if you get, and that's the difference I'm trying to explain. I mean, if you have a bridge that has a rating of 3 on structural elements, it should be closed, probably. Okay. That's the bridge rating system. Bridges are inspected every 2 years, every other year, except bridges that trip a threshold may be inspected every single year.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the ones that are in pretty poor shape, pretty bad shape. So when they go out and they look at these elements, no matter what the number is, you're going to look at structural connections, you're going to look at the deck, you're going to look at all these things, and if they see something that needs work, they'll yellow flag it and they'll send it away. If they see something that is that bad, they'll red flag it.
Mm-hmm.
And if a bridge gets red flagged, it needs to be corrected in a short period of time, usually 24 or 48 hours, or close the bridge.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So that's the difference between the yellow, the red, and the bridge rating system.
Mm-hmm. So online there's a database statewide from the biennial inspection that
mm-hmm.
codes the bridges whether they're poor or not poor. Like,
right.
Is it poor condition, yes or no?
No, you could actually even look up, you should be able to get the number. It's rated a 5, it's rated a 4.2, or it's rated a whatever.
Yeah, so this one is just poor, yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
database,
on the New York State DOT page?
Yep, there's, for the county, there's 389 bridges.
Mm-hmm.
We have state, town, village, thruway authority, bridge authority,
mm-hmm.
DEP, but 156 of those 389 are county bridges.
I thought it was 158 in the budget. That's okay.
Okay.
It might be a shared services agreement.
Maybe those two are closed already.
And it might be a DP one. And then currently 37 are poor condition. So
okay.
that doesn't necessarily, I don't know where that correlates
mm-hmm.
with
okay.
the flag system,
mm-hmm.
but these are ones
that means it's lower than a 4.
These are ones, so it's 37
okay.
of 156 in the database
okay.
right now. And it's, you know, I can't
20%.
Say how that
okay.
relates to
mm-hmm.
yellow flagging. I have no clue.
Okay.
And that
right.
20% makes sense to me or rings with me with what I understand about the way that DPW prioritizes their work. So if they're always working on that 20%,
mm-hmm.
it you're always going to have 20% because some of the ones that were just above that slide down as they move some other bridges. up to sixes or whatever, not to sevens, unless they replace
it. Considering I only do 4 or 5 bridges a year, 37 is, you're talking years out now.
Well, and the 4 or 5 they do might not be in the 37.
They should be, shouldn't they?
Well, they should.
Well, I mean, there's several ways to look at this. You have a bridge that needs to be replaced.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to work on it until
you could spend a lot of time and effort and still need to replace the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have a bridge that's rated 4.2, and with a small amount of work, you can put it up to over a 5, and then it never goes to a 4 bridge.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, when I was in the legislature previously, I believe that one DPW meeting, because I served on the same committee, we had somebody from DPW came in and projected for the year the bridges they're going to work on and why. So maybe we can request that again, necessarily before the end of the year, but maybe at the beginning.
That is part of our capital program.
Well,
I mean, they should be prepared to discuss what they're going to do on the bridge.
Absolutely.
When it comes up as their capital number 508 or whatever it is.
That makes sense.
So before the end of the meeting, unless Deputy LaValle, did you have?
No, I just wanted to, since that
was thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Right there, you know.
Very helpful.
And part of our capital program meeting, combined meeting, we should be asking them, will this remove it from the red flag or the yellow flag will this reduce the number of deficient? See, we don't use poor, we just call them deficient bridges.
Mm-hmm.
Reduce the number of deficient bridges.
So we do have Mrs. Budick here. Is there any update on the study on Kings Highway from the UCTC? I think I made that.
Not that I know of. You were at the same last meeting, right?
Nothing happened.
Okay. And you did say there was another accident, right?
Two.
I gave her a suggestion in the elevator.
North and south. After Fat Chance, that was a word that came to mind with that suggestion. But anyway, that's just between you and me.
Well, if you write that letter, it becomes part of record, and it has to be addressed.
Yeah, it becomes a notice of defect, which holds the municipality liable.
But then what happened to the letter that your committee wrote, the letter that our town board wrote?
Are they
a part of the public record spinning your wheels and doing nothing?
Have you gone to a town board meeting?
Yes.
And during public comment?
Yes.
Did you get up and speak?
Yes. But actually...
Because that becomes part of the record.
Actually, it has now been part of the town board endeavor to replicate that SAMA study that they did in 2007 that pointed out the deficiencies and ways to... to solve the problems and whatever. A lot of those things were not acted upon. This is, I'm finding out, like secondhand from Brian Swack and whatever. And they're willing to help us submit for another SAMA study, but it doesn't look too good when you have already had a study and you haven't implemented a lot of those things. So you're kind of taking your, you know, the sins of whatever. So they're helping us anyway. They're at this point going to address it that way. I still have a problem with the speed limit on Kings Highway. And when all of Kings Highway is 40 and 45 miles an hour, and there is a 5-mile section with no speed limit at all, which said that everybody takes it for granted, 55, okay. At 55 miles an hour, within the last 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, there have been 2 accidents that if those people knew that there was either
a factory entrance or a truck entrance or something, that something was coming up. There's just, it's just not well marked. It really isn't. We had a motorcyclist slide under a car when the car broke for a truck coming out of Canos, because they have now a truck with a trailer. Well, you're going into the Canos recycling plant is kind of on a very slow, gradual curve, and it looks as though the road is going straight, but it isn't. And they get right into that curve, and now you've got actually a double-length vehicle coming out. And the lady just stood on her brake, and she, it was an instant reaction. That motorcyclist went right under her car. Now, that was going south. Going north, they had a full load, a full loaded truck, fully loaded truck, that came out of Solite. Somebody came out of the parking lot adjacent to Canos. There's a manufacturer there. And he pulled out in front of the truck. Now, did he pull out in front of the truck because he didn't see the truck? Because it's on the same gentle curve, very safe spot.
Or do you think the truck wasn't going as fast as it was?
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's because it's very hard to distinguish how fast they're going, because it looks, it's just deceiving. He pulled out in front of the truck. The trucker went off to the side of the road. There are no shoulders on Kings Highway. And hit a soft embankment and turned over just before it got to the railroad tracks. Fortunately enough, nobody was hurt on either occasion.
Well, hearing all of this again, I just wonder if we should maybe get that prior study and maybe somebody from this group meet with Brian Slack or have him come here and go through those recommendations and see which ones we could maybe have an effective voice in pushing.
Okay.
As far as speed limit,
capital plan.
The speed limit is set by the state, even in the town or village or whatever. So, and the process for that is at a public meeting, town board meeting or whatever, or during public comment, request that the town send a letter to the Department of Transportation for Burnett Boulevard, Poughkeepsie, New York, 12601, address to Lance McMillan, and have them study to reduce the speed limit.
Mm-hmm.
Once they get that letter, they're on record, they have to send it to the traffic department. Traffic department will go out there, they'll do an analysis, and then they will have to respond in writing to the town what the findings were. And if the findings are reduce it, they'll tell them what to reduce it to. 40 miles an hour, whatever. Or it's not legal to reduce a speed limit more than 15 miles per hour. So what they do, if it's 55,
40.
It'll go to 40. If they want it reduced farther than that, then they can drop it to 30 or whatever. But it has to, you know, the maximum reduction is 15 miles an hour. So you would go from 55 to 40, then to less. They wouldn't go from 55 to 30.
No.
Because you're driving your car, it's 55 miles an hour, and within the space of a few hundred feet, you got to go to 30. If you standing on the brakes. But that is the process. And if the town does that, the state has to respond.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the state has an option.
But we heard last night it's a 3 to 5 year process.
For what?
To get the speed reduced?
No.
Or is that to get the signs up on the side of the road?
Neither nor.
No.
In either case, it's...
No, because the signs on a county road or a town or a village road are put up by the county, town, or the village.
A state road. I think it was a state road. Okay.
But in either case, that clock starts when you start the process.
Yes.
To do it. You know, if it needs to be done, I never
stop because it's going to take a long time. Start sooner. It's going to take a long time.
And the state, it does not take that long for the state to respond because they're held accountable. I mean, and there are people tracking that. How many days from the time it came to whatever, and people are rated on that personally when you get your performance evaluation. And whether you get a raise or not, it depends on what your performance evaluation is. So, you know, people usually.
And the other thing that ties into this is the county has not done traffic studies out there of accidents and whatever. They do not have current data on that. They have no counters yet. That's still in process.
Huh. Did you speak with Brian about that when you talked with him?
Yeah. Brian, David, Dennis, anybody that would listen.
Yeah, I find that hard to believe because every police report gets filed, and that goes to motor vehicle. So every stretch of road, every segment of road has an accident history on it, and when that accident history goes above the statewide average, that's called a PIL, personal injury location. And for every segment of road in this state, no matter if it's county, town, whatever, there is data on how many accidents and whether it's a PIL location or not.
Is it on the state website, on the county website, on the...
You'd have to go to motor vehicles.
So there's two things. First, there's several years of accident data that's available through a dashboard, through the, let me back up, the Traffic Safety Board for the county, which has a series of web pages.
First Monday of the month, they meet in chambers.
They have...
They
have a website. They have a lot of information. They have information right on the homepage. What do you do if you want the speed limit lowered on a segment of road? They explain how that works and, you know, go through all the, you know, what you have to do as far as what reasons, when you have to have a study, everything is in there. And then there's also an accident dashboard. So it's an interactive GIS map. It has 2 years of accident data all on the map. You click on it, you know, get the information from the accident report. You can see the pedestrian, bicycle, car, fatal, or incapacitating injury. All there. So there's a lot of really good resources right on the traffic, and just generally it's good to, you know, point folks there if they have questions. That's the first place to start. I think we're going to try to update it with more accident data, but I know that Dave also did a countywide study looking at accident data for those high
accident
locations. But I think she was also asking about more updated count data, whether or not they've done tubes, you know, out there. And I know that rotates, you know, per the contract, different places. So
I'm surprised.
But they should have those, whatever the last time they did it.
But you can go into that beautiful DOT site that does, like, the estimated volumes
ADT.
For the...
AADT.
The AADT, and it's, again, it's another map database, and you can go right in there and look
at it. And it's color coded.
It's lovely.
Okay, now one last thing was the meeting for next month, because you and I will not be here. I don't know if Dean will be available.
I forget what day. I already put that on my calendar, but.
Because I think our meeting was supposed to be, what, the 9th?
And I
had brought that up to Legislator Fabiano a month ago.
Moved it to the 3rd or something, didn't we?
No, that was economic development we moved.
Oh, all right.
So the next Public Works meeting is scheduled for Monday, November 6th, the day before Election Day. I could send out a doodle poll.
I won't be here.
Before
you won't be there.
Do we want to aim for before the 3rd? Then, because session is the 14th, so
so mean November 1st, which is a Wednesday, or November 2nd, which is a Thursday. The second looks pretty open for me.
But what about the availability of chamber and our clerk?
A quorum of the committee will be here the day before for the health committee on the 1st.
Oh.
I've got that at 5:30. That's why I didn't say put it in there. So we could go before them would be better for me than after.
Or earlier? Legislator Litz, he said we don't want to cut into your work week.
Yeah, why don't you send an email out and for the 1st or the 2nd, and then I can consult my calendar.
The 1st is our health. 1st works better for me because there's our Cal fundraiser at 6, but yeah. And you're not available the 3rd. You have to be on a bus at 4:30 in the morning.
Yes, correct. So do you.
Yeah.
I will send out some dates and times.
Yeah.
Okay.
That work.
All right, but yeah, maybe we could do it the same day as health, unless we have marathon meetings. It's hard to know what the agendas are going to look like. To guess. Okay. So, Legislator Litz, do you have anything for us?
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Thank you. Second. All in favor?
8:58.
Any opposed? Anybody want to stay? Okay. Extensions? All right. So moved. Have a good night.